A lot of people came to my mind during that song. I hope the same thing for you as well. People that needed to hear the truth and got the message at the right time. And that's a lot about what we'll be looking at tonight. If you want to start making your way to Matthew 28, now Matthew chapter 28, this is going to be a very familiar passage. Believe me, I know where we are. This is a church that loves missions. We're the product of that. So many people praying that God would call missionaries out of this church, and Pastor Pittman constantly keeping that in front of us and encouraging it. And the great thing about growing up in Temple as a teenager was that it wasn't the sports stars or the nice jobs that were always lifted up and promoted. It was the idea of getting the gospel to the lost and dying world. And the idea of being a missionary was always seen here in this place as something special. So that we would look up to the missionaries that came. And I remember when they would come and we'd love every minute of it. And that came because Pastor Pittman had a heart for people. And this church, the people here, have a heart for people around the world. And I would challenge you, never, ever lose that. We're going to see tonight, that's the heartbeat of God. God loves people, and it's always, we're going to look even in the Old Testament, we will see that it's always been God's plan that lost people, that people that do not know the Messiah would come to that saving knowledge and have eternal life. And so it's so great being back here tonight. Remember all the thoughts of being in the youth group and meeting Kim and playing basketball here and all the messages. I remember sitting about somewhere right there in the front in the youth group when Pastor preached on the family. And that's a message that burned into me on the importance of the family. These are things that helped make me into what I am, and I'm not trying to say in some way that I've arrived or I'm some super person. It's just by God's grace, He's been able to use me because God has used this church. He's used you, and I can't stress that enough. I can't say that enough. I can't even begin to thank you for the amount of faithfulness that we've seen here in this place. It's a special place, a very, very special place. I hope you cherish that. There's going to be a time, thinking of the teenagers now, when you won't be in the... I remember sitting there with the other teens in the youth group and thinking, man, I'm going to be a teenager for the rest of my life. This is taking forever. I remember I graduated high school a year early as I wanted to... Well, I really wanted to get married is what it came down to. Kim had gone. She was 2 years ahead of me. And so I graduated high school a year early and then college a semester early. And people said, you're super smart. No, I'm not super smart. I just had motivation, you know. Wanted to get married. But just great times and special times. And now it's great to have, it was when Pastor Brandon came and visited. We got to do a lot of things together. We went and played basketball. And there's this fellow on the team. He's super solid, you know, really strong. He's, you know, I guess you can picture someone looks like me, I guess, you know. Didn't have to laugh that loud, I guess, but yeah, he's a lot bigger than I am, and he was just built, you know, and I was like, Brandon, you guard him, and Brandon was on my team, Pastor Brandon there, and sure enough, he breaks his finger and you know, and comes back home, and I was thinking, yeah, see, that's the mission field, you know, you go to Africa and Asia, and you have to deal with all the problems there, but here you got a broken bone, so we can't, that counts as something, you know. But really, it's a great place to be in Austria, Bavaria. But we don't face the uprising of the government or things like this, or even violence and crime. What we face is just spiritual apathy, just deadness. It's very difficult to share the gospel over and over and over again and constantly basically be rejected. It gets very difficult. It gets very challenging. And what we had to come to the conclusion early on and then throughout the ministry is the Lord's called us to tell the gospel, to give the gospel, not to save a single soul. And so we've said, Lord, what we will do, if you will be with us, we will be busy. We will do whatever we can to get the gospel. We will think of all the ways that we can, and we will tell anybody and everybody that we can. And Lord, we'll leave the saving of the souls up to you. And He's really blessed in a lot of ways. He's given us a joy. Sometimes it gets difficult, you know, when you're trying to reach somebody they're just so stubborn and it gets difficult. But God has given us a joy. We love being over there. It's absolutely, we're having the time of our lives. And yeah, well, let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Familiar verses, and I just want to look at this passage tonight. And starting in verse 18, this is called the Great Commission. Of course, we know that. It's also a command. But I just want to look at these three verses, as well as kind of telling a little bit about the ministry over the last several years And let's read this together. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here, Lord, at my church. And I thank you for these people. And I pray that you'd bless our church, Lord, in a special way. Father, we need your guidance. We need your leading. And Lord, we certainly need your blessing. And Father, we pray that you would bless us and help us, Father, to continue to get the gospel, not just here in Virginia, as important as that is, Lord, but also around the world. Thank you for a church that we could come to and be encouraged and challenged to not forget about those that are struggling around this world trying to get a church started or trying to reach the lost or dealing with government issues and all type of things. Lord, help us not to forget these people, Lord, and to be behind them by praying for them. And Lord, thank you for all of those that pray for us. And Lord, bless this church. Help us. And Father, then help us tonight. We want to hear from you. Or we don't just want to meet together and go through emotion. We want to meet with you and worship you and say to you how worthy you are of our worship tonight. And Father, we love you and we thank you and we pray that you be with us now in Christ's name. Amen. Now in Matthew 28, we have what's called the Great Commission or the Great Command. I've heard it being called as well. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. But the interesting thing about this is the Great Commission that he has for the church, or the local church, or every local church. And by the way, next month is October. We are starting our missions program at our church. We are going to be supporting missionaries because it is the job of every local church to get the gospel around the world. It's not just the job of the American church, but of every local church. And we believe that, and we're teaching our people that. And so you pray for us next month. We'll be challenging our people. We want to support missionaries. But that's the plan that God has for the church. But if you look back in the Old Testament, this is not new. This idea that is the job of God's ambassadors on earth to reach the lost. In other words, it's not the angel's job. It's not some special being's job. It's whoever is a believer in the Messiah, in God, a follower of Christ, a follower of God, the true God of the Bible. It's always been their responsibility to get the gospel, the good news of Christ, of the Messiah, to the lost and dying world. Always. If you go back to the very beginning, the first mention of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3, where God promises that a Messiah is coming, a seed of the woman. He promises Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman is coming, and that will be the Messiah to defeat Satan and sin. And then the next chapter in Genesis chapter 4, Eve has a child, and she holds that child up and says, Behold, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I believe she might possibly have thought, this is the Messiah. Now, that we obviously know that was Cain, and we look back at that history. But Eve very much could have believed that she was holding the Messiah in her hands because there was a promise given to her that it was the seed of the woman. She didn't know it would literally be thousands and thousands of years before that Messiah would come. But in the Old Testament, salvation came by grace through faith in the Messiah. Adam and Eve believed in that Messiah. They didn't know his name was going to be Jesus. They didn't know exactly he was going to die on the cross by the Roman Empire or anything like that. But they believed in the Messiah. Or you come to Genesis chapter 12, and now you're a couple thousand years later, and God calls Abram, or Abraham. And Abraham, the Bible says, was justified by faith, and that he believed God, and he believed in that message of the Messiah. And so now God is going to use the nation of Israel. He's going to work with the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Interesting thing, in Exodus chapter 19, the Bible says that God wanted the nation of Israel to be a nation of priests. In other words, it was their job to get the gospel around the world, to get the message of Jehovah and the Messiah. And you know something about a priest? The priest represents the people to God. The prophet represents God to the people, but the priest brings the people to God. And so what was Israel's job? To bring the lost world. Those Egyptians and the Philistines and all these others were to look at Israel and say, wow, that is a holy nation and there's a holy God and that is the true and living God. That's what their job was. They were ambassadors. Now, when we read through the Old Testament, we find out that Israel failed over and over again, don't we? It's kind of sad in a lot of ways. You look at Judges and other times when they're in captivity, and we see that Israel failed, and we think, how could they possibly have failed? They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw the miracles and the manna and all these different type of things, and we say, how could they have failed? But I look around at so many churches in this world today, and don't we fail as well? Don't we not submit to what God has called us to do and be that light to the world? Now, tonight, The goal that I have in looking at the Great Commission and looking at this passage is simply this, is to make the Great Commission a very simple thing. This is not something that's just for the missions conference. This is not something that's just for some special Sunday. This is a rubber meets the road, everyday issue. That is what the Great Commission is. A lot of people think, you're the missionary. You're fulfilling the Great Commission. Say, you're fulfilling the Great Commission too if you're simply getting the gospel to your neighbors. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Great Commission is a Monday morning, is a Tuesday afternoon, is an everyday thing. And that's the goal of tonight, is to look at this. First of all, in verse 18, I see this, the foundation of the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. That's the foundation of the Great Commission. God has given us the power to do what he's called us to do. God never calls us to do something that he doesn't empower us to do it. And so that's the foundation. You cannot have the go. We like to concentrate on the going, don't we? Go, 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 go. But you can't have that without the power to go. And that's where so many people get these steps wrong. And they get it all wrong. See, a lot of people talk about, do this in the power of God. Live in the power of God. But what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means simply submit to the Word of God. You see, there's a lot of problems that we can avoid if we simply look at the Bible. I'm convinced in our church, in Bavaria, a lot of the struggles and problems that we face are not complicated issues of what to do, and we just don't know what's right, what's wrong. It's simply, the Bible says this, will you do it or will you not? Right. I've had people come and say, God wants me to be happy, and to be happy, I feel like I just need to leave my wife and go get a new wife. And that's God, he wants me to be happy, doesn't he? And we say, listen, this isn't a complicated issue. You want the power of God in your life, do what he says in his words. How can we expect the blessing of God if we're not going to submit to the Word of God? And so the living in the power of God starts with simply submitting to the Word of God. It's not as complicated as we like to make it out to be so many times. But living in the power of God also means spending time with God. It means understanding the heart of God. It means spending time in prayer. A lot of times when a problem comes, even today, we have a crisis in the church, or we have an issue that comes up, and immediately start thinking, okay, who do I need to meet with? What do I need to do? And then about half hour later, oh yeah, Lord, what do you have to say about this? And that's a sad thing. I need to come to that point first of all, because that's the power of God. It's not saying, Todd, what can I do? But God, what can you do? And so we have here the foundation of the Great Commission is this power. And isn't that what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, by the way? What does it say? But ye shall receive power. Listen, we're talking about the Great Commission. We believe it was given to the local church. It was given to every local church. And so it's the church's responsibility. Now, Christ was speaking to his disciples here in Matthew 28. And by extension, we believe the church. But the disciples are told to go. And they're told, they're given this great verse, and all power is given unto me. And now Christ is going to send them throughout the world. But then in Acts chapter 1, we find them waiting. God tells them to wait. Very interesting concept here in Acts chapter 1. They're told to wait. Remember that? They're in the upper room, and they're waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Why are they waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, even the disciples were not told to go out and do what God had called them to do until they were empowered to do it. That's a very important, very, very important concept. You see, it doesn't matter how skilled you are. If God can use me, he can use you. Isn't that an amazing concept? The power of God. We've seen the power of God in so many different ways. You see, it takes the power of God for any soul to come to Christ. I remember it was November 8th, 1997, and I'll remember this day to the day I die. And it was a Saturday morning. Every once in a while, I would ask my dad to take me to church. And we were the type of family who would go to church on Christmas and Easter and this type of thing. And we visited a bunch of churches in Northern Virginia. But one of the times, I don't know the first time, but my parents brought us here to Temple Baptist Church. And then from then on, every once in a while, I was 13, 14 years old, I would look at my dad and say, Dad, would you please bring me to that church there over in Herndon? At Temple Baptist Church, and would you bring me over to that church? And he would. He'd felt the obligation to take me, even as we were all lost. And he would take us to church. And we got to know the people a little bit and be in the youth group there. And then that Saturday morning, November 8th, 1997, Pastor Pittman came and knocked on our door, and he wanted to talk to me. I even remember what I was wearing. I was wearing an old T-shirt with holes in it, and I looked like a redneck, you know. And he wanted to sit down there and talk with me. And he looked at me and he said, Todd, have you ever put your faith in Christ? Are you saved? Do you know you'd go to heaven when you die? And I said, yeah, I said a prayer when I was in Sunday school when I was little. And I never forget this. He looked at me again. Todd, would you go to heaven if you died? He asked the same question again. I said, no, Pastor, I wouldn't. I don't know the Lord. And then he went through the Romans with me, and I'll never forget. He said, Todd, put your name into Romans 10:13, for if Todd Lepedo shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's the power of God, because a pastor obeyed the word of God and brought the message to a lost person. That's the power of God in action. You see, we can do nothing without the power of God. I remember the song that was just sung before I got up here. Who's waiting for that message? There was a man, we went out door to door and passing out flyers and trying to talk to people. One house, there was nobody home, and I put a flyer in his mailbox, and he came to church, and he said, I'm just coming this one time. We said, okay, you know, you're welcome to be here. He didn't know what a Baptist was, and he had Googled it and found out that we're fairly well represented in the United States. And so he came, and he said, I'm just here one time. Okay. Well, the next Sunday, he came back again. He said, hey, it's good to see you again, you know, and he kept coming. Well, one morning, I was walking my dog. It was a Saturday morning, and I got a phone call from this fella, and he said, Todd, when I got that flyer in my mailbox, he called it a Christian brochure is what he called it. I thought that was interesting. When I got that Christian brochure in my mailbox, it was a time where I was thinking about committing suicide. I was thinking about ending my life. But I came to church, and I even told you I'm just coming once because I was just curious. But I saw something different there, and I kept coming back, and I kept coming back. And I heard this message of the gospel. And Todd, I want you to know I've put my faith in Christ. I want to be baptized and join the church. That was an amazing day. I remember we baptized him in the Austrian mountains there. And I remember he brought to me his form. He had gone to the government and paid a fee so that he could leave the Catholic Church and they'd stop taking money out of his paycheck. And he had to go into the government to get that taken care of. And he was so happy. He gave me the form. It's called an Austrian. He gave me his form. And here it is. And I was like, what's this? And it was his official leaving of the Catholic Church so he could join our church. That's the power of God. It's simply the power of God. I remember when Virginia was born, and a representative of the government came, and they asked me, what religion is your daughter? And I said, what in the world kind of question is that? They said, what religion? I said, I have no idea. So she's laying right there. You can talk to her if you want to and ask her. But they wanted to know what religion we were. And so they asked us. And I said, well, we're Christians. Well, that's not good enough. What does that mean? Is that what they wanted to know was, were we Catholic or Lutheran? And so finally they just said, well, we're going to put nothing. You know, you're not anything. But that's how they view us. And this person had left that, this man had left that whole background and everything and given it up because of the love of Christ and because of the power of God. And so we can't have the going. We can't have the telling without the power, without the ability. And so then we go on to verse 19. And here we have the heart of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In the German, you won't know because most of you don't speak German, but this is going to be a pretty bad accent in German. But the German is Mach zu Jüngern aller Völker, which means make disciples of all nations, of all people groups. And that's what the Bible is telling us, is we're to make disciples. The idea here is as you're going. It's a command to reach the lost and disciple those that have been saved as you're going. In other words, as you're about your business. And here's where the rubber meets the road. You see, a lot of people bring out the Great Commission, bring out Matthew 28 during missions conference in these special times. But you understand, this go ye therefore is for everybody. We apply it to the missionary, and we think of the missionary, but really it's for every single soul in here tonight. This is a practical issue. You see, if you will go and take Christ with you as you go, you will reach a part of the world that I cannot reach. I hope you're understanding the concept here. You see, each one of us have a sphere. Each one of us have a people that we can reach, and I'll never get to them, but you will. And so that's the Great Commission in action. That's the Great Commission being put to use every single solitary day. And again, sometimes we make this complicated. We say, oh, I didn't get to speak to someone for an hour and sit down and share Christ with them. Sometimes it's as simple as saying, hey, I really had a blessing in my church last night, or God really answered a prayer. Or, hey, when you get some time, I'd really like to share, tell you about my church or tell you about my Savior that died for me. Something as simple as that. Hey, can I talk to you the next coming weeks? Or hey, God really did this in my life. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not just, we don't need to go home thinking we're a failure if we didn't have an hour-long conversation with somebody that day. Sometimes it's as simple as being honest at work. Sometimes it's as simple as praising God for other people to see it. You see, that's this idea of constantly going, constantly about being about this. Not just in a special month of the year. Not just that. It's for every day. and it's for every day. We've tried to get very creative in getting the gospel out. And so I joined a basketball team. I'll never forget, I was in Garmisch in the southern part, right on the Austrian border. A lot of skiers there, a lot of soccer players there. And teenagers, here's a reason to be a missionary in Bavaria and Austria. I was the local superstar of the basketball team. I'm not a very good basketball player, as many of you know from high school years. But over there, when they all play soccer and ski, you can really be a star. And so that's a reason. Here you go. Why, if you're evaluating two places, you know, well, if your career is on the rocks here, you know, you can always come and be a basketball. But the idea was just to get out and meet people. That was the idea. And through that, God has really blessed. And it really taught me something. If I'll simply take Christ with me wherever I go, in whatever way I can think of, He will send the opportunities. There won't be lack of opportunities. It's not like we're not going to meet the lost world. They're there. They're just waiting for someone to go. And so the idea here is go, 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 and don't stop. And never stop getting the gospel out. I wish I could say that our barbecue ministry was started because I spent hours in prayer and was just really burdened for this type of ministry. It's really, I was homesick for barbecue and I couldn't get it. And so I remember I went to Nuremberg and I, on 25 euros on eBay, I had picked up this smoker in Nuremberg, and I went to YouTube, and I taught myself to smoke meat. And through that, we decided, let's have a barbecue festival, and let's just invite people and see what happens. And felt like the Lord was leading in this, and we said, Lord, we want to be in our community. We don't just want to be in our church and never talk to people. We need to get out and reach people. And so we said, Lord, what will you bless this? And we said, Lord, if you're sending 10 people, we'd be so amazed. That would be a miracle. Because normally when we have a special outreach event, a lot of times nobody comes. It's just difficult. Well, over 100 people showed up that first time. And you see, that's why we as Baptists have a really good advantage, in that we bring food with us wherever we go as well. But we had this barbecue festival, and we preached Christ to these people, and we were handing out flyers, and our church people were amazed as the people would come and say, hey, how much does this cost? We say, it's just donation. You don't, it's free, just if you want to donate. Our church people were amazed at seeing the shock in people's faces, and you're just doing this for what reason? Why are you doing this? And we said, all we want to do is be a blessing to our community and share the love of God in our community. And they were taken aback by that. But that's simply going, going, going every day getting the gospel out, whatever way we can think of. Could go on and on with other illustrations, but the idea is getting out. I remember Pastor Brandon was telling me he joined the ping pong team to meet people. And I said, well, when you come, we're going to do a man sport and play basketball. But then I went back. And I went and played ping pong, and funny enough, I don't know if I told you this, I was the new guy. And they said, okay, you're the new guy. You see that 12-year-old girl over there? You go play with her. And she wiped the floor with me. But the idea is just getting out any way we can. You know, meet your neighbors. Invite a neighbor. Or, hey, come over for dinner. You know those people that live by you? You can invite them over. You can reach these people. It's simply going and going. So we have the foundation of the Great Commission. We have the heart of the Great Commission. And in verse 20, we have the motivation of the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. 10 years ago, we were told by a lot of missionaries. I remember a German couple was in this church. This is over a decade ago. And they said, you know, there's no reason for you to go. And I was shocked. There's no reason for you to go. We had a lot of missionaries tell us it's going to be very, very difficult. And so we got on our knees, Kim and I, and we said, Lord, you've called us to do this. And so we're going to go and we're going to obey your calling in our life. But Lord, please, please go with us. And I can tell you today, 10 years later, there's not a single day that he wasn't with us. The Lord has promised to be with us, and he has been with us. And by the way, this verse here, this phrase, and lo, I am with you always, what's the context here? The context is getting the gospel out, isn't it? In Luke chapter 18, there's a verse that I've adopted as the verse that keeps us on the mission field. In Luke 18, the Bible says that nothing is impossible for the Lord. With man, all things are impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. It's a paraphrase there. But even that, the context of that passage is Jesus Christ trying to reach a lost man with the gospel. Check your Bibles and see how often these concepts are tied together, that if you will be a light of Christ, he will go with you. Those concepts are tied together. Why? Because it's the heart of God to reach the lost. And so where will God be? He will be out there trying to reach people. And so if you want to have God with you, You have to take God with you. You have to reach the lost. You have to try to get the gospel out. And so that's what we've found is God has been with us. There's been a lot of times we said, Lord, this is difficult. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. We're even at a point in our ministry right now and we're praying, Lord, what's next and how are you going to lead? And Lord, I just don't see it and I don't have the answers. But he says, Todd, it's been 10 years and I've been with you every day. I'm not going to abandon you now. And that's the great thing. If you serve the Lord, he will be with you. I remember it was Halloween night, and this was before I was a believer, and I was unsaved. I was out with some other friends, and I was a teenager. I must have been 13 years old, about there. And we got some friends together, and we went over to the old haunted house. It's in Sterling, over there in Sterling. And we called it the haunted house. It was just an abandoned house. And there was, like I said, just this old abandoned house. And we got to daring one another. You know how teenagers are. I dare you to go in the haunted house. I dare you. We were afraid there could have been a murderer, a thief, or a vegetarian. Who knows what was in that house? And we got to daring one another. You know, you go in, you go in. And then finally someone says, and this happens, you get a group of teenagers together. Mark this down. This will always happen when there's a dare. I'll do it. I'll go in if you go with me, if someone goes with me. Well, God's already promised it. He's already promised it. But what is the promise? If you go. And what did we talk? What did we say going was? Was taking every opportunity you can. It's not just if you go to the mission field. If you go, if you share Christ, if you try to do what you can, where you are, I will be with you. You see, now we're talking about a lot more practical things, aren't we? Not just the missions conference, but every day of our lives. I remember we were having a church service, and a man came in and with his family. And he introduced himself to us, and we got to know him. And he and his family kept visiting the church for about 2 months. And then he asked us to sit down and talk with him. And I'll never forget this. We sat down and talked with this man. And he said that he grew up in the Lutheran church, and his father was actually a Lutheran pastor. And so he had been in youth groups and camps and everything. And he said, I thought my whole life that everything was right between me and God. I was part of the church. And I thought everything was right with my soul and God. But after being here the last 2 months and seeing something that I've never seen before and seeing a love, he called it a love and he called it a genuineness. As it was echt, as it's real in English. He called it something that's real. He said, I realized not everything was not right between me and God. And we've seen this over and over in Bavaria and Austria. Most people are relying on their religion, are relying on their good works. In other words, well, I've been part of the church. My mother was in the church, my father and grandfather and so forth, literally over 1,000 years. They can trace it back oftentimes and say, our family's been part of the church forever. And that's what they're holding on to. So when you ask them about eternal life and these type of things, they say, well, I'm part of the church, the church, the church, the church. And we say, what about your walk with the Lord? And it's just a foreign concept to them. And so here this man was, and he said, I realized that everything was not right. And I want you to know I've put my faith in Christ. And you saw him being baptized in the video. I got a postcard from this fella. And he wrote in this postcard, it was a wooden postcard too, so I won't ever forget it. It was just kind of interesting. But he put on this postcard, Todd, I view you as my Paul, as my Timothy. In other words, the person that brought the gospel to me. That will motivate you right there. That will keep you going. If that, listen, there we could tell that story several other times in several different ways. And I'm hoping, I really am, that each one of you have a story like that. Because you see, that's where God is. God will go with you. And here's sin, those people along your way that are waiting to hear. Maybe it's at school, maybe it's wherever. But the point is, every one of us needs those stories in our lives. And every one of us needs to be a Paul or a Timothy to somebody. How does it happen? It happens when we do things in the power of God, in God's way, and we bring God with us. Listen, God can use this church. He already has in great ways. And I have one opportunity to speak and get this message across. And I know, I'm convinced that God could call somebody here. We need help in Austria. We need help in Bavaria. It took somebody coming to my door. It took our pastor coming to my door. For this man that we met with that one day, it took somebody coming to Bavaria, to Austria. Listen, there's so many people around this world. It's going to take you coming. It's going to take you saying, Lord, I'll go, and I'll do it in your power, and I'll bring you with me. Let's pray tonight as we close. Father, we love you tonight, and Lord, I just want to thank you for people that love us so much, and Lord, these people mean the world to me. Father, nowhere else can I, as we travel around on furlough, nowhere else can this feeling of people being behind us and supporting us. And Lord, thank you for the kind words. And Lord, I pray you'd bless these people. These are dear people. You love them very much. And so bless them and help them, Lord, as they continue to try to reach the lost around them. Lord, bless our church. We love you. We thank you in Christ's name.
Let's stand to our feet. I think you could see tonight why Todd and Kim are having an effect in Austria, Bavaria. The people that think they're going to heaven because of 1,000 years of church attendance. You can make a difference at work if you're real. It's not necessarily just those that go to the mission field. We need them. We need to do everything we can to tell people the wonder of Christ. But there are teenagers that can tell people of Christ and live right and be a testimony. I don't know if I'll forget that thought. You are my Paul. Whose Paul are you? All of us should have somebody that we're praying for or working on. A neighbor, a friend, a family member. Because we're here to represent Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Brandon to lead us in a verse. The song, if you need to come tonight, maybe the Lord's laid somebody in your heart. You come to this altar and say, Lord, help me to be able to share the gospel with them. Or Lord, help me to be able to say something to cause them to think that they need to get closer to you. They need to find out something about you. And maybe I can present the gospel. But then you come and lead us in a song.